ESPN 107.3 presents Wild at Heart, bringing outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond. Wild at Heart, powered by Cowtown USA, Cold Steakhouse and Grill, J. Cook Fly Rods, The Outdoor Superstore, Shady Lanes Cabins and Motel, Advanced Performance Shooting, Missouri Trappers Association, Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, and State Farm agent Michelle Beckett. Now, here's Wild at Heart on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome to Wild at Heart, right here on ESPN 107.3 FM in the Pulse of the Ozarks, beautiful Rolla, Missouri. I'm your host, Bill Cooper, member of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. And in the studio, once again, is a great co-host, Jerry Cook. Also got Tommy Bench in here today. He's under training. We're going to pour it on him today.
OJT.
Yeah, you bet. And two, John Francis, he's our sound man. He keeps us straight and keeps things rolling. But welcome to Wild at Heart. We're a bunch of red-blooded Americans who remember and cherish their outdoor heritage. We love America and support the Second Amendment. We stand for our national anthem, say please and thank you, and open doors for the ladies. We hunt, fish, trap, shoot, float, camp, and explore in God's country, the Missouri Ozarks, right out your back door, and occasionally a few points beyond. Join us each week on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. right here on MidMo, ESPN 107.3 FM. Or catch us Sundays at 8 a.m. or anytime online at ESPN1073.com. This segment of Wild at Heart is brought to you by J. Cook Fly Rods, custom fly rods plus everything you need for fly fishing, located in Salem, Missouri. And Harvey's Alley Spring Canoe Rental, located on the crystal clear Jack's Fork River. Well, Tommy Bench, welcome, buddy. We're going to pour it on you today.
Thanks for having me again.
If you haven't heard, next week, Tommy Bench is going to be taking over as host of Wild at Heart. This is something that I had kind of been working on in the back of my mind over the last few months. I've probably known Tommy less than a year, but discovered rather quick like that he has a great love of the Ozarks because he's a true Ozarkian, born in what county is that, Pulaski?
Pulaski County, USA.
Yeah, right over on the beautiful Gasconade River, and what a place to spend your life. And he's, what, 40 years old?
39.
Oh, you're close enough. Jack Benny said,
he's a kid, Bill, you know.
Yeah, he is, that's for sure. I know one thing, he's full of energy, and I don't think I could find anybody better to fill these shoes here. But he's a very knowledgeable outdoorsman. I mean, his claim to fame is smallmouth fisherman and guide on upper Gasconade River, but he also knows a great deal about the general outdoor. He's a hunter and a fisherman. I know he loves to bow hunt. I've heard some tales about some big whopping bucks. I mean, I haven't seen any of them, but I have heard big stories. So
well, that's what I'm good for, is the stories anyway. So
you think that's a lot like fish stories, Bill? Or
exactly. They fall in the same arena, buddy. But hey, got a couple of good storytellers here. But before we get too far down the line here, it's a special day for you, Tommy.
It's a very special day. Today is my daughter, Kaylee Marie Bench's 11th birthday.
11th birthday. Wow. Well, it's also my oldest daughter, Jenna's birthday. And we adopted Jenna 1975. Didn't get her till September 18th. She was 6 days old when we picked her up, little redheaded thing. So funny. We were on our way to Columbia to pick her up. Had the caseworker. She was driving. You know, my wife and I were so nervous, sweaty palms and all that stuff, you know, first child. And I mean, they just gave us a few hours' notice. We didn't have a diaper bag, diapers, nothing, you know. And just as we pulled into Columbia, she, caseworker, were asking us if we were nervous and all this sort of thing. I made the statement. I said, yes, I am, but I sure hope this kid's not redheaded. Just trying to be funny, you know. Well, she didn't think it's very funny. The kid was redheaded.
Like the old saying, the old redheaded stepchild, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. But, boy, what a joy she has been. I won't tell you how old she is. She'd probably choke me if I told her age over there. But she's born September 12th,
1975.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a little bit older than me. I won't say any more. She's still young. I'll still say she's young.
Great, talented gal. Very proud of her. She's got a beautiful voice. And you talk about a writer. Wow. She should have been a political writer. I can't keep up with her thoughts and ideas sometimes. But she's not much of an outdoorsman. But while she lived in Springfield in the city limits, she kept bees. That's something I did while all the kids were children.
Yeah, honeybees.
Honeybees. Yeah, she had two hives of honeybees right in the city limits of Springfield.
Wow. Speaking of bees, do you know, I just heard today, maybe this is old news to you guys, but to me it's new news. I heard that bumblebees are now officially on the endangered species list.
I have not heard that, but it doesn't surprise me because all pollinators are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And
probably
comes from the insecticides and all that. That sort of thing.
That's what I have read on that subject anyway.
Yeah. But, hey, something we absolutely have to have. You know, Mother Nature takes care of some of that for us. Early February, sycamores, elms, some of those trees bloom before the pollinators are out. Hmm. You know how they pollinate?
By the wind.
By the wind.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But anyway, happy birthday, girls. We'd sing to you, but I don't think you'd survive it.
No, you wouldn't
survive
it. I want to make sure. I know you told your story about your daughter. I want to say just something real quick about mine as well. You know, she's a little firecracker. She's my little smart mouth. She's the one that anytime I'm on the phone with someone, she'll pop something off, and it's something more clever than you think an adult would come up with. But, you know, I love this girl to pieces. I just wanted to tell her happy birthday because one of these days she'll be able to listen to this anyway. I'll let her hear it. So happy birthday, Kaylee. Love you.
Absolutely. Happy birthday. Kayla it is. 11
Kaylee.
Years old. Kaylee. Yep. 11 years old. That's a grand age.
That is a grand age.
Daddy, you're going to see lots of changes coming up in just the next few years. And you've got how many girls?
Four.
Oh, my
girls. Yeah, wow. All girls.
Four girls.
So
that's awesome.
Well, fortunately, my dad is the sheriff of Pulaski County, so at least if I do go to jail, which I'm sure it might happen with all girls, maybe I'll get fed well.
So. I wouldn't count on it. Dads can be rough on you sometimes.
Well, he's the type to make an example out of me rather than have favoritism.
I'm sure he sounds like he might have been a lot like my dad, but mm-hmm. girls are wonderful. I can't tell you how many girls I've had all together, raised nine children all together. We call them yours, mine, and ours, you know. Had three, adopted three, and three more just kind of showed up. And there were others, you know. I just never claimed that I adopted them.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of them do enjoy the outdoors, though. And I'm certainly thankful for that. And even Jennifer, she loves the city. She lives in St. Louis. Now she's a city girl. And it's really amazing to me that she was so exposed to all this outdoor stuff. And but she had her own direction. She was big in drama, music, loved it. You'd love her, John. You need to hear her sing sometime.
I'm sure I would.
Yeah, she sang in several music shows around the area over the years, and still, I'm sure, in drama clubs.
What's her last name?
Peterson.
Or do you want to say? What?
Peterson.
Peterson.
Yeah.
All right, Jenna Peterson. I'll look out for
Peterson,
her.
Yeah. Great gal. Maybe I can get her in to sing sometime. She'll sing.
You know, I don't know why my two boys, I introduced them to the outdoors at a young age, took them fishing, hunting, and so on, but today they're not interested.
It's strange how that all pans out. My son, Jason, gosh, he's not far behind Jennifer, just a few years, but yeah, hunting, fished a lot, and he still does it some, but not anything like level I do, but he started a new group, and I can't call the name of it on Facebook, but it has to do with backpacking and trekking. You know, they talk about trekking in Europe. Well, his company sends him all over the world, spent a lot of time in Europe, climbed a lot of big mountains, you know, these 13, 14,000 things. Hope he never asked me to go.
Sounds like hard work to me.
Yeah, but he's heavily into it. Hey, well, glad we all got great kids for sure. But another thing I want to talk about in this segment, you know, this is my last show here at Wild at Heart, and boy, that's kind of a kind of gets me a little bit, get a little bit of a lump in my throat. But I'm a busy guy. I got so many new jobs going on. And I hope you'll have me back once in a while, you guys.
Absolutely.
Just to catch up.
Oh, I told you, this chair is always open for you. And the mic.
Well, I do appreciate that. But we've had some grand times in the last few months. Jerry and I have had a ton of people on the show. And, Jerry, I'll ask you first. Who were some of your favorite guests you've had on the show in the last 8 or 9 months,
I guess? Well, we were talking earlier about that, and I think Chris Raines from Belize is absolutely one of my favorite personalities.
Anybody from Belize is interested.
Yeah. Especially us from the Ozarks. It's definitely interesting, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Chris is a really knowledgeable person, especially when it comes to permit, bonefish, and baby tarpon fishing, just saltwater fishing in general. And, of course, he fishes up north for
Yeah, we lost him one time. Remember, we thought he was in Belize. Where was he?
He was in Michigan.
In Michigan, you know, we're just a few thousand miles off.
But, you know, Davey Watton, who we just had on a couple of weeks ago from Wales, he's a very knowledgeable, interesting individual.
Oh, his accent was enough to keep your interest.
No kidding.
Yeah, very knowledgeable guy. But see, Jerry's into this fancy fly fishing stuff, and he knows lots of people from all over the world that, boy, they got it down now. They know what they're talking about. It's fine art. But who else, Jerry?
Well, Jimmy Traylor, you know, Jimmy T from down in Lakeview, Arkansas, the White River country down there. Oh, Jimmy's an outstanding guide, fisherman. In fact, I just had a customer in the shop today who was talking about Jimmy and what a great guide he was and how hard he worked at putting his customers on fish.
Absolutely. Well, I got to mention a couple of my favorites, too. We had one of the assistant directors of the conservation department in a few weeks ago, Aaron Jeffries. I really enjoyed. So knowledgeable, you know, helping guide the state of Missouri with their fish and wildlife resources. So he was certainly fun. And on the other side, kind of that's kind of the professional folks, you know, and the big wigs.
The suit guys.
Exactly. He did show up in a suit and tie, didn't he?
Yeah,
he come out of the legislature to come down here to be on a radio show and then turn around and went back to Jeff City, back to the legislature to fight those battles. But on the other side of the fence, I got to say, sitting right here in the orange shirt, Tommy Bench had been my absolute favorite. And that's why he's got this job, you know. Pretty impressive young man. I tell you, we could talk on and on and on, but we're already through this first segment. Folks, if you're driving down the highway or just getting home, stay with us. I'm Bill Cooper, and this is Wild at Heart.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to Wild at Heart right here on ESPN 107.3 FM. This segment is brought to you by Cowtown USA, home of Can-Am ATVs and UTVs and Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. It's not just land, it's a lifestyle, and we live it. Hey, before we went to break, we were talking about some of our favorite outdoor people. But, Jerry, I got to toss in right quick. I think it's next Tuesday, this Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. They've got a show coming up on, is it Rural America? I'm probably getting that wrong, but he's supposed to notify me for sure. But it's about the farm we were fly fishing on the Merrimack River, the Woods Valley Farm.
Yeah.
Going to be pretty interesting. Hope I get to see it.
Yeah, that should be an interesting program.
Well, hey, Bill, I have something to throw in here, too, because you guys have kids' birthdays today, and my youngest son's birthday is today also.
You're kidding me.
No. Wow. And he's living in Colorado. He's in the Air Force.
Really? And how old is he?
He's 24 now.
24?
24 years young.
Yeah, and in the Air Force.
In the Air Force, he's working in the space systems. He keeps track of all the satellites.
Well, good for
him.
You're
kidding
me.
Really?
The Air Force is a good... That's a good place to be.
It's a good clean gig, I tell you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Cleaner than the gig we pulled.
Absolutely. And you know, and almost when I was going through ROTC, I wanted to go with the Air Force and was ready to go. Wanted to fly those fast jets and stuff, you know. But, long story.
Story for another day.
Yep. Yeah. We don't have enough time. But some of your other favorite characters, you know, and I think to a degree everybody's been a favorite because we've had them on the show. They had something on the ball and had some great information we wanted our listeners to hear.
Absolutely, yeah. And every one of them brings something different to the program. Carolyn Parker at River Run Outfitters down in Branson.
Oh, I love that little lady.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what. In her mid to late 70s, rows that drift boat like she was 27 years old.
Well, I tell you what, I'd never want to offend Carolyn. For sure, she'd beat me with a fly rod, but she certainly doesn't look 70.
No, she sure does not. And,
hey, let's guess her weight. This is my last show. I could really step out there.
Her weight, probably 100 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, if
102
that.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Tommy, you need to get in a drift boat with her. She uses those big long oars, you know, spin that boat around, just does all kinds of crazy things with it. You think you're a good paddler.
Oh, yeah.
You need to meet this little lady.
And I tell you
I'd
what,
like to go with her.
Very knowledgeable about the tailwaters of Tanikomo as well, and a heck of a fly caster.
Absolutely, and this grand lady has done so much for women's fly fishing.
Oh, they amazing.
They just had a big event. How many people they have there? A couple hundred?
Her ladies' fly fishing club, the River Runners, she started 10 years ago, I think, with 9 ladies, and now they've got over 100 ladies in that club.
Wow. Wow.
So, she's done a lot for bringing women into the sport, and
absolutely. But she won't let men come to these ladies' events. You know, might be a great place for those single fly fishing guys to find a partner. You know, but it's not going to happen. You can stand on outside of the gates.
Not
I guess.
Allowed. No boys allowed.
No boys allowed. That's for sure. But yeah, we've had some great people, and of course, John himself. He's bailed us out a number of times. We're getting a little bit of a trouble, and he talks outdoors to us, too. You know, he was in Hawaii here. Is that how you say it, John? My wife always tells me I pronounce Hawaii.
You say Hawaii, don't you?
Hawaii, yeah.
Yeah. No, I say Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Right. In fact, I'm going back this May.
Wow.
That's an annual trip for you.
Annual trip.
And he does hikes and bicycle?
Yeah. Well, see, the deal is that I brought my wife to Missouri to honeymoon. And so...
From
Idaho. She's from Idaho. So we came to Missouri and we stayed with my parents. So I am atoning now by taking her on a yearly trip to Hawaii.
I see. And how many years have you been atoning?
30 years. Although we've only been to Hawaii for 4 years.
That's an expensive atonement.
Yeah. Man.
that's great, though. You know, that's a big adventure every year.
Oh, it's great.
Now, do you go back to the same place or go somewhere different?
We've been going to the same place each time because it's the Big Island, and there's so much to do on the Big Island. So every year we pick one big thing to do, and the rest of the time we just kind of hang out, you know, enjoy the water and the beach.
And
last time you watched the volcano, right?
Last time our plan was to watch the volcano, right, but we couldn't because it was blowing up so much. So we ended up doing some other things. It's a great place.
Sounds like a wonderful trip, though, don't it? A little far away from the Ozarks.
A lot more wonderful than being on the East Coast this week.
Wow.
Yeah,
no
kidding.
Isn't that the truth?
Golly.
And interesting you bring that up. I've got a fellow, I don't know, probably 50 years old, that comes up from, hope I get this right, North or South. I think it's South Carolina.
One of the Carolinas, anyway.
Yeah. Well, boy, if he heard me get it wrong, he'd be upset. Because those guys, it's South Carolina because he referred to the guys north of him as Yankees.
Well, Tommy's got right. You just hear from the Carolinas.
Yeah.
You know.
He's here from the Carolinas.
John the diplomat over here. But anyway, he's coming up seeing our outfitters. He's the director of the waterfowl operations, and he was there this last weekend and was planning on staying for a while. But then, our guy at CNR, the head man, told him that he hoped we'd have a hurricane so we get some rain up here. And 7 of them popped up on a radar, you know, on the next day. So,
well, have you heard how severe it's gotten just today?
No, not today, but I heard it was going to get
this
unbelievably
This is the update. About two or three hours ago, I got an update from the Weather Channel because obviously I got to monitor the weather being a guide, you know, and checking the river and whatnot. They're expecting 40 inches of rainfall. And, I mean, absolutely devastating flooding. You know, I mean, you're talking, you imagine 40 inches of rain dumped on grass.
Besides the wind. But this guy makes his living fishing, so he's got a big fishing boat that he was really worried about, too. So he had to leave to get back. So haven't heard from him, but don't know what's going on. But prayers for all of them down there.
Absolutely.
Sure.
No kidding. They're going to catch it pretty bad.
Yeah. Devastating. All right, let's move on, guys. Let's talk about a few outdoor updates we need to look at. Anybody go dove hunting? Me neither.
Would have loved to, but didn't make it.
Well, I've heard some good reports. Tyler Mahoney over in Kansas City area, he hunted one of the, I guess it's James A. Reed area close to Kansas City. he got the lucky feel, I guess. He killed the limit both days.
Wow.
Good for him. That's good. I've heard my buddy Aaron Click went and I guess killed him pretty good, done pretty good doing that, I think.
Yeah.
So
where'd he go?
What is the limit on doves?
15.
Okay.
Yep. 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 That takes about 125 shots to get
it. And that's if you're a good shot.
Hey, the national average, guess, Tommy, how many shots does it take to kill one dove?
I'm going to say my lucky number 7.
Wow, three? You don't have much confidence in those shooters out there, do you? It's 5.
Three, 5?
You guys both.
I got to go with 7. 7's my lucky number, so I just.
Well, I've had days when 7 wasn't enough.
Wasn't enough?
Yeah. But that's a lot of ammunition.
That is a lot.
Well, there's millions of guys across the country that get out to dove hunt. Tremendous sport, and that's a great party sport, too. Lots of people get out and sit under the shade trees.
I'm sure the shot shell manufacturers love it, too.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And dove's a great table fare, too.
You know it is.
Oh, yeah, the big shoots where you have 100, maybe 200 people. There are lots of doves killed in those kinds of fields, and always a big cookout afterwards. So much fun, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got their own dove recipe, but
and it's good people, eating too.
It is if it's done correctly. Of course, lots of people like wrap them in bacon and toss them on that grill. You know.
Oh yeah.
Good way to go. Well, teal season didn't start much better for me. I haven't killed one yet. Been out 3 times, but I have to admit, over at CNR Outfitters, I was the cameraman. You know, now it's right over Ross Schatz. I hope he's listening, filming right over his shoulder, 4 teal coming straight at him, and he didn't shoot. Then they flared, and the guy behind me turned and shot, knocked one of them down. Of course, everybody was all over Ross. Why didn't you shoot? Why didn't you shoot? He said, well, we're filming. I thought this was just like a TV show. I waited till somebody said, shoot. Nobody shouted.
Oh, boy. So he didn't shoot.
He didn't shoot. I mean, they're 30 yards and coming fast straight at him, you know, and he didn't shoot.
And how fast does a teal fly?
60 miles an hour.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that the fastest waterfowl there is?
No, actually not. There's birds.
Actually.
Redheads, I think.
Al Agnew was telling me about a teal. We was on the Merrimack, me, Aaron Click, and Al Agnew, and he was educating me a little bit on those teal, telling me how fast they were. And it may have been, I don't know.
There's a duck that does 72 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's good.
I can't. They're fast.
Wow.
Which species is that?
Yeah, you shoot into tomorrow to be able to hit one. You know? Yeah. The first time I ever went teal hunting, boy, I was excited. Big group came across the decoys. There was 12, 15 birds. I shot at the lead bird, and the last one fell out. That's true. That's how fast they fly. But
wow.
Boy, so much fun, and they, too, are excellent, excellent eating. One of the best of the ducks. They're little guys. They only weigh about 6 ounces. And they're are our earliest migrators. And I think a lot of them have already gone through this part of the country because I know last weekend somebody sent me a message that said there were teal on Little Prairie. I've been there the last 2 mornings and haven't seen
nothing.
Not one teal. A couple of wood ducks. And I got a young dog that's 6 months old. I'm trying to train him. He thinks teal hunting is very boring.
I can imagine with not seeing anything.
Well, I got news for you here, Bill.
What's that?
So the previous speed record was a canvasback duck clocked at 72 miles an hour.
That's what it was.
That's what you said.
That's
but
what it was.
The fastest duck ever recorded is a red-breasted Berganser that attained a top airspeed of 100 miles an hour while being pursued by an airplane.
Been pursued.
But he still set the record, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
100 miles an hour.
Now, canvasback, that's exactly what Al Agnew told me.
Yeah, I couldn't. It was on the tip of my tongue, but I just couldn't get it. Canvasback, and I've never killed one.
Yeah.
There's a reason why.
Because they're fast. Super fast.
Yeah. Real prize, though, you kill a canvasback.
I've heard that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll have to put that on my bucket list.
Yeah, I do. And I watched a kid a couple years ago. I was filming, got this on film down in the Boot Hill at Perry May's place. He had 7,000 acres. IWF Outfitters, in your face, what it stood for. And he always had ducks in close. But this canvasback comes zooming across the decoys. Everybody shot at him. One kid killed both of them. Everybody's mad at him. Because they're a real, real prize. But, hey, before we run out of time here, bow season starts up this Saturday.
This Saturday, September 15th.
Now, you're going to go fish that tournament when it's over go bow hunting?
That's the plan. That's the plan. We're going to fish the Belle Chute for the big Walmart, annual Walmart tournament. That's a big, big tournament. Wow. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of prizes given away. And so after that, I'm going bow hunting. I'm pretty excited about that as well.
Oh, I think we all are. Hey, we're coming up on segment three here. Ray, I will talk with Drew Gregory about the upcoming Pulaski County River Bassin National Championship. You're listening to Wild at Heart, and I'm Bill Cooper. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Get a damn thing, as you can say we took a licking. Tonight's fish fry's gonna taste like chicken, but we did just fine, if I do say so myself. A bad day of fishing beats a good day of anything else.
Welcome back to Wild at Heart Radio. This is your guest host, Ray I. We came back with a little Billy Currington. A bad day of fishing beats any other kind of day, for sure. Hope everyone's doing well. It's great to be back here as a guest host at ESPN 107.3 FM, Wild at Heart Radio. Bill Cooper's Wild at Heart Radio. We're going to talk a little fishing. Great event coming up down in Waynesville, Missouri, Pulaski County. It's a 2018 River Bassin National Championship, and we wanted to get Drew Gregory on, that's Basser Drew, and have him tell us about this event. But before we get to our guests, we have a little intro music. Here we go.
Bring along your fishing pole and leave your dirty dishes. Meet me by the fishing hole and wear your leather breeches. Curly mow and paw, everything's all right. We're gonna go fishing next Saturday night. Lipstick, makeup, leave behind. Makeup takes up too much time. You're a little honey and you're quite a dish. But Saturday night we're going fishing to fish.
Hey, Drew. How's things going with you, Drew?
Things are going good. Things are going good. I just want to get right in, and I'm getting really excited to get over to Pulaski County. And you know, I've been over there before, but I haven't done as much fishing as I'd like. But you know, the times I've been there, it's been incredible. And so you guys are so fortunate to live nearby to such good waters, man. I'll tell you what. And this event is so cool because it's kayak fishing, you know, for these bass in the rivers. And we call it river bassin, right? And, right. You know, you go out there, you catch, you know, three fish is all you got to catch, three bass. You can catch a smallmouth, largemouth, spotted bass, whatever. And it's pretty simple. You put them on a measuring board, and you take your smartphone, take pictures of them, and your top three fish, you know, count. But there's also a team division, a two-man team division. And get this, Ray, there's actually a five-man super team division. So you can carpool with your friends down to that area. But it's a pretty unique style of tournament, and you can actually fish rivers within about a 50 or 60-mile radius. There's actually a boundary map on the website, and the website's riverbassintrail.com. That's B-A-S-S-I-N on the word bassin, so riverbassintrail.com. And, yeah, over $75,000 in cash and prizes, and a lot of it is actually given away via raffle. So even if you don't have the best day on the water, you know, because, hey, even Tiger Woods in his prime didn't win every tournament, right? So
that's right.
Even if you don't have the best day on the water, folks, you can come out there, have a good time. There's going to be kayak demos. You can test out different kayaks, and actually you can meet some folks from right there in your area. If you guys know, I'm familiar with the Kirkwood area. There's a shop called the Alpine Shop, and they're going to be out there. They sell a lot of these kayaks and you know, the paddle sports equipment that you would need to get out there and do this. You can meet them in person, and they're actually donating one of the raffle kayaks. So that's my take on it so far, but I'm sure I've missed something. So what do you got for me?
The good stuff. This is Pulaski County. This is coming up real soon here in September here, the 21st through the 23rd in Waynesville, Missouri. How do people get information? How can they get registered for this? Give us that information again.
Sure. And just so everyone knows, that the 22nd is the tournament day, and the 21st will be sort of a rules meeting. It's actually non-mandatory because our rules are online. But you can come over there and meet me, and like I said, do kayak demos. We'll just have a good time. Because some people out there hopefully have seen my show, Hooked on Wild Waters. That's my TV show, so you guys can check that out. But riverbassintrail.com is the website, and then you just click on schedule. And then, of course, a schedule, you're going to see Waynesville, Missouri National Championship. And just so people out there aren't confused, this is a question we get all the time. How do I qualify for the National Championship? Well, the championship tournament is actually an open tournament. You don't have to qualify for it. This could be the very first time you've fished a river bassin tournament. But the only reason why people get confused about that is because we do have other tournaments going on throughout the season, and online tournaments and other in-person tournaments like this one, and they're building up points for something we call the River Bassers of the Year. and then also the River Bassin Team of the Year. Those are two-man teams. So this is the culmination where we actually do award, you know, that final trophy to those who have won the River Bassin of the Year, the one person, or the Team of the Year. So that's why people may get confused. But you guys show up, have a good time, and have some fun, and check it out, and come say hey to me, and let's just, that's what it's all about, to have some food, some fellowship, share some laughs, and just come on down to Pulaski County. It's a good time.
Yeah, that is exactly what it's all about. And I really appreciate you taking the time to give us this information. I'd like to get back with you, Drew, after the event, and let's do a follow-up, and let's tell all our listeners how this event went and who won and what went on down there and all those sort of things. And when we get you back on, we want you to give us some fishing tips, too. Can you do that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I know how to fish for bass and rivers. That's what I love, and that's what how I cut my teeth into the sport. So that's the reason I got a kayak, man. It's such a good tool to get in those rivers. So I'm all about that. And let's do it.
All right, hey, give us out that website one more time so they get registered.
All right, riverbassintrail.com. That's RIVERBASSINTRAIL.com. So go check it out, and we'll see you guys out there.
All right, thank you, Drew, and best of luck with your tournament.
All right, thank you.
That was special guest Drew Gregory, Bassin Drew. He's going to be at the Pulaski County River Bassin Fishing Tournament. Man, that's good stuff. $75,000 in prize money. That information, again, is the 2018 River Bassin Tournament Trail. It's the national championships, Waynesville, Missouri, September 21st through the 23rd, with more than $75,000 in cash and prizes. You can register at riverbassintrail.com. That's riverbassintrail.com, RIVERBASSINTRAIL.com, riverbassintrail.com. I wanted to tell everyone how much I've enjoyed being part of the Wild at Heart radio programming with Mr. Bill Cooper. I've enjoyed bringing you some story times and special guests. But my understanding is my great friend, an outdoor legend, kind of an old guy like me, is moving on. He's leaving the Wild at Heart radio show as a radio host. And my understanding, we've got a new young man, Tommy Bench, is going to be taking over. I wish him the best of luck and congratulations for him with the show. I don't personally know Tommy, but anytime I see a young, energetic young man like him grabbing the mantle and running with it for the outdoors, I'm pretty excited about that. I'd also like to give a shout out to John Francis. Really have enjoyed working with John at ESPN 107.3, who's responsible for bringing my babblings to you each and every week here at ESPN 107.3. With my great friend Bill Cooper moving on and a new host coming in, Tommy Bench, with his programming, his show, it's time for me to move on down the trail. You can Google Ray I and see where I'm at, but I've been on 590 The Fan, KFNS, for 18 years out of St. Louis, and I'm also on KSGM 980 out of Perryville, Missouri, both great stations, with my live radio broadcast, and I also have a podcast. You can follow my adventures there if you'd like. And I just want to tell you all, I've really, really enjoyed being part of this programming and with you out there, the listeners. And I wish you all nothing but the best. I wish my great friend Bill Cooper nothing but the best in his adventures. And best of luck to you, Tommy Bench. And may you all have a great fall. And I'll see you all down the trail. This is Ray I signing off.
We'll be back after the break with Tommy Bench. We're going to talk about the best bass lures in the Ozarks. It might be a little more bow hunting. I'll be right back. I'm Bill Cooper.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to Wild at Heart, your source for information about what's going on in the world of outdoor recreation in the Ozarks and points beyond. This segment of our show is brought to you by Shady Lanes Cabins and Motel in Eminence, offering you a comfortable night's sleep after a long day on the river. Boy, I had a couple of those a couple weekends ago, and I'm still feeling it, you know. But remember, you can always listen to Wild at Heart anytime you want at our website, ESPN1073.com. Just click Programming and Wild at Heart. Or you can tell Alexa to play the Wild at Heart podcast from TuneIn Radio. I'm still not familiar with Alexa. Who is she?
You're going to have to get to know Alexa one of these days.
I guess. Jerry tells me she's had trouble with Alexa.
Yeah.
So that's because he's old.
So I have Alexa at home and Alexa on my phone both.
And what does she do for you?
Well, for one thing, I can ask her what the weather is, what the temperature is outside, what it's still inside, you know.
Pretty smart gal. Huh?
Yeah, I can ask her to add something to my shopping list, you know, stuff like that. I can ask her to play music on the radio, and she'll play it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty neat.
Why did they name it after a lady?
That's a good question.
Because ladies are helpful.
Hey, somebody's sucking up.
I'm not going there, man.
You bet. My wife, Diane, is super helpful. Wasn't for her, I wouldn't be in business, man.
There you
She's
go.
Always bailing me out. Well, Tommy Bench, we're going to continue talking about a couple of subjects very near and dear to our hearts. We were talking bow hunting earlier. You got plans. You're going to win a bass tournament this weekend, then you're going to kill a monster buck. Is that correct?
That's the way it's going to go. Going to win the Walmart Invitational. Well, that's not an invitation, but the Walmart Annual Tournament, and then go home that evening and kill about a 160. I mean, maybe 155.
Sounds awful confident. Now, have you got this buck tied up already?
There's actually two of them, just in case the one don't pan out. So my good buddy Larry Franklin, he's got that all handled for me, and he's got me all set up. I'm just going to go out there and crawl
from
the stand.
I've got a recent copy. In fact, I think it's a September issue of Missouri Game and Fish magazine here. I have an article in there, Tommy, talking about a handful of guys from across the state of Missouri. And big bucks in here. Is he going to look like that?
A little bit bigger than that one.
Well, that was a 163 Tim Chelsvik killed.
Oh, wow.
On film a couple years ago.
Oh, on film, so that's official score then.
Oh, yeah. That's the buck that shot him into orbit, you know.
Wow.
Started his career. He killed a couple real nice ones last year as well, and now he's the editor-in-chief of Drury Outdoors DeerCast.
Wow.
And they just topped 50,000 members, and they started that last week.
Wow. That is incredible.
Yeah, quite.
And he's in charge of that.
And our good buddy Milo, guess what? He got the award for the Rider of the Month for August.
Did he really?
He did. I told
Congratulations,
him,
Milo.
Milo, it's not even fair. I didn't start articles till September. They actually posted a couple of mine in August, so Milo beat me out. You know, that's that young blood for you, Jerry.
Yep. They'll do it every
time.
He is
great, though. He's doing a good job. Here's a Kyle Duke from down in around Charleston, Missouri. I actually went to school with his mother, Big Buck.
Down in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Rich Soils buck there. Here's a stomper, 183-incher from northeast Missouri, killed by Mike Bailey. But everybody's into the big bucks. Sounds like you are, too.
I like big bucks, and I cannot lie, I guess.
Yeah, most of these bow hunters are insane about big bucks. Of course, over CNR Outfitters, we're pushing the big bucks, too, 8,000 acres there, and boy, you ought to see the trail cam photos.
I'm going to have to get out there. Sounds like a...
Oh, lots of dandy bucks. But, you know, they're starting to rub the velvet off. They've got several on. In fact, they had two pretty nice bucks. I'd say they're both in the 150s range. One of them might have hit 160. Standing in front of the camera this last week. And one of them had velvet and one of them didn't.
Right next to each other.
Right next to each other. Yeah, I made a pretty interesting... photograph, but you know, the deer hunting craze is just incredible. It's a billion-dollar industry in the state of Missouri, John.
So, Bill, I hate to ask this because I show my ignorance, but refresh my memory. How's this 160, 150 thing measured?
It's a score. I bet Tommy can explain that better than I can.
Explain that to me, Tommy.
Okay, so how they measure a buck is you take a tape, okay, you measure the bases. Okay, so there's one measurement right there around the bases where it comes out of their head.
Just the diameter?
Just the diameter.
Of the.
So we'll say 5 inches is fairly decent.
A distance five between to seven the two inches. Horns.
No, that's a spread. Okay, we'll get to that in just a second. Yeah. Okay, so the base is the diameter around
that
each horn.
Each antler.
Horn.
Okay. Okay, and now you usually have a brow tine. You measure the length from the base and how far it extends.
Right, okay.
We'll say it's 4 inches.
Like the devil, you know.
Yep, all right. So now you put that 4 inches down. And then you'll take, we'll just get this, the main beam. So now all the way around the main beam to where it extends. We'll say it's 22 inches. You put 22 inches and an eighth, whatever. And then you take.
Measure both sides, right?
Both sides. You just do one side, then you do the other. So this side is a count. So you got your left side over here. On this, you know, your measurements here, the right side measurements, and then you add them together. So your G2 is what they call your G2, would be the second tine after the brow tine.
Okay.
And then you measure from the base up. And then in between every G2, G3, G4, you measure the diameter around. So now the base of that, so mass has a lot to do with the with your final score.
Right.
You know, so you got a deer that's got tremendous amount of mass, it's going to have a much higher score than a deer that has the same amount of tine length but doesn't have the mass.
Okay.
It may gain 15, 20 inches. You know, the difference between a 140 or a 160.
Right.
So. And you measure the spread, too, between them, correct?
Yeah, some formats do that and some don't. Yeah, but that's all. Also another option is the spread in between. But not all formats. There's different formats the way they do it. That's the only difference in the formats that I've ever seen is either spread or not spread.
Okay.
The others are all standard across the board.
Okay.
So. I told you he could explain that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
yeah,
very,
you're welcome.
Very well done. But, yeah, everybody's enamored by the big antlers. You know, you start getting into 150. Well, the biggest deer I ever killed was 150.
That's a big one, though.
I missed some 180s.
I missed them in my dreams.
Oh,
I've seen a few.
I missed them. You know, you get that buck fever,
uh-huh.
You know, that sort of thing.
Tommy, I'll get another T-shirt for you that says, get it in the truck.
Get it. Hey, I'm going to patent that. I talked to my buddy, Justin Travis, his best friend. We was talking before I come up here, and I said, he goes, well, I figured you just get some shirts made that says, get it in a boat and start having some giveaways on the radio show. I said, that's a good idea.
I
think it's a great idea.
But,
we'll do some.
Be sure to put my name on it.
Bill Cooper.
In small print.
Get it in the boat, Bill Cooper.
Yeah, yeah. Or like John just said, get in a truck.
Yeah, I'll never live it down. That's for sure. But my whole point in talking about Missouri Game and Fish magazine is I'm writing for them again. I wrote for them for 27 years, took a 5-year hiatus, and now I'm back at it again. So pick up a copy of Missouri Game and Fish when you get, or better yet, subscribe. Help keep me in business. I'm probably going to have some stories about Tommy Bench here in the future. In fact, I'm just working on a story. I can't give the story away, you know. But
you don't want to do that, but we can give them a sneak peek at it, or at least give them some.
Yeah. Be sure and pick up the March issue next year. Tommy Bench is going to be in it.
There you go,
a little
everyone.
Bitty smallmouth, about 6 inches long. Remember, the power of the pen, Tommy Bench.
That's right, the power of the pen.
I'm sure you're going to supply me lots of articles. Material already have, but I'm looking forward to working that in the future. But we just got not too much time left in this segment, a few minutes here, but we're going to talk about one of your favorite subjects, Tommy, and that's the best bass lures to use in the Ozarks. What's your number one?
A jig. I would say
that's old school.
All year long, you look it up. A jig, and what I'm talking about the old jig and pig,
yeah,
style. You know, that's what I call a
now
jig.
Explain to John what a jig and pig is.
Thank you.
Okay, so a jig and pig, by the old timers, by old school fishermen, is a skirted jig, usually between a quarter and 3/4 ounce. I like the finesse style, and the finesse style is where rather than a mop jig is where the skirt folds over equally in length. Okay, where the skirt collar is holding it on. A finesse jig is only sticking out about. We'll say about 1/4 inch right at the head where you tie it on, and then you got it's usually trimmed off right around where the hook ends instead of a big old long skirt.
So what does it look like in the water?
It imitates a crawfish. That's exactly what it imitates sometimes. They also make it color patterns.
There's an exception to every rule.
There's an exception to everything. But they also make color patterns to imitate a bluegill, you know, or a bait fish because that's the same way. You know, if they're targeting on the bluegill and you got bluegill pattern skirt material on your jig, then they see bluegill. That's just what the bass see.
Yeah, but one of the strange things, you know, he's talking finesse, he's talking small, and then the contradiction, the pig. It's a piece of plastic that you add on to this fine, small little bait to make it look bulkier.
That's right.
You
it's
want it
bigger,
to look small,
move
but
more
then
water.
You want it to look bulkier.
You want it to look bulkier. That's the pig part of it. Because, you know, back in the day, they actually used true pig, you know, pork.
Pork rind, yeah.
Pork rind, and they would come in like Uncle Josh's.
Oh, I still
notorious.
Got some.
Yep, I
it
remember
don't look
that.
Too good. It's been on the shelf for 15 years probably.
Heck, I don't know about you guys because, I mean, that was in my younger days using the actual jig and pig. But, dadgum, I thought I was going to jab the hook through my hand by the time I got that pig on there. It was so thick and tough and I don't know how you done it.
Yeah, you could look like this sore finger
there
I have here that I ran a nail through yesterday.
Just like that. That's what you look like. So I like, you know, the modern technology. They've got the most realistic crawl patterns you can ever imagine. Like we've talked about Tackle HD and the crawl.
They are the best. You know, I'll put in a plug for them.
Oh, it's amazing.
I caught some big fish on those. One of them got away, too.
Now, did that original pig rind actually have – did the smell of the pig, could
yes,
that attract it, the
yeah,
fish?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Pork rind.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things you got to remember, you're talking about bluegill patterns and so on, laws of nature, big fish eat little fish.
Yeah, for
sure. They do.
That's
absolutely.
Absolutely right, yeah.
Absolutely true. A lot of the baits imitate fish. But the jigging pig, that surprised me, but you can't argue with it. Denny Breyer made himself famous, you know, from Lake of the Ozarks, and he was the first fishing athlete to appear on a cereal box.
No kidding.
That's a fact.
Wow. I'll tell you why I think it's the best. And this is a fact. You can look it up. It's the only bait that you can successfully, and I could be proven wrong, but this is my opinion, that you can use any day of the year, and it's been proven to be successful.
That's the absolute truth, because crayfish are there 365 a day, whether it's ice on the river or the water's 90 degrees.
Yep.
Those crayfish are still there, and they happen to be the favorite food of smallmouth bass.
They sure are.
So, yeah, I can't argue with that, although I seldom ever throw one.
What is yours?
Probably, if I could only take one bait to the river.
All year long.
It'd be a fluke.
It's hard to argue with that.
All right. It's a plastic.
That would be my number two.
Yeah, it's a plastic imitation, John. I like the pearl white. And it, again, I throw them with just a hook and no weight, particularly in the summertime. They'll kind of lay on the top for a second or two, and then they start this dying action as they sink. And then colder weather, I actually put a weighted hook or a little weight on with them so they get in the deep water quickly.
Same thing we were talking about the hard jerk bait. This is just a soft plastic version of that hard jerk bait is all it is. I also like a white fluke and pearl white. But what I've done is I've had a lot of lost fish here recently in the last few months, this year in particular. So I've been putting me a number eight number eight treble hook on the bottom of it, and I've my hookup ratio is far better.
Oh, no, I tried to teach you over there today. I didn't get the fish in the boat. You know, take that fluke. Most of you guys run that hook up through the back of it. But I don't do that. I skin hook that hook on the side of the bait. And it get hung up a lot more because it bumps anything, that hook's going to pop out. But it also pops out in the fish's mouth. I think it's clear, John, we could argue baits all day long. And we only got two of them covered.
I know. And haven't even talked to Jerry yet.
I know. He would say articulated flies.
Articulated streamers.
Articulated streamers. Right.
Oh, my goodness. We just have entirely too much fun. But don't go away. We're having a great time here today. My last show, and boy, am I having a ball. You know, I'm probably going to have nightmares not get to see you guys every Wednesday night. But I'm Bill Cooper right here on Wild at Heart. In our next segment, Jerry Cook is going to have a guest, Mr. Jeff Trigg, whom we've heard from several times, but always full of great fly fishing information. Of course, Jerry, he's a fly fishing hardcore dude. Got that beautiful shop down Salem, Missouri. Stop by and see him. But don't go away. We're going to be right back in about 3 minutes.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to Wild at Heart. I'm your co-host, Jerry Cook, and this segment of our show is brought to you by Advanced Performance Shooting in Waynesville, offering classes and firearms use and safety. My guest this evening is Mr. Jeff Trigg. How you doing, Jeff?
Not too bad, Jay. How are you this evening?
Just wonderful, man. I tell you what, couldn't be better. How's the fishing been for you?
Well, the smallmouth has been a little slow just because of flows, not having any water to float. But the trout fishing down on the White River has been pretty good.
Yeah, I've been getting some good reports down there, but I know you like to smallmouth fish down there, and from what you were saying earlier when we spoke, they need a little more water down there.
Yeah, this rain last week has helped, but you know, it jumped up to around 1,000 CFS right in the middle of that rain, but it's already dropped back down below 300, so... It came and went pretty quick.
Yeah, that's quite a drop there. Well, you know, this storm blowing in might put a little more water in the river there. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
We'll see.
See what happens there. One of the things, Jeff, I wanted to talk to you about is that,
You and Darren have a show coming up at Bennett Springs next month. You want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have it's called the Reddington Home Waters event, and it's October 5th and 6th at Hidden Valley Outfitters, which is a big campground just right there at the 64 Bridge below Bennett. Friday is going to be kind of a slow day, a little bit, everybody setting up, getting everything out, including letting you. You'll be there, I know.
Absolutely.
Saturday is the big day. I think right now we've got about 28 to 29 vendors and organizations that are going to have displays and booths set up. That's anywhere from Fly Shop to other reps to Trout Unlimited, Missouri Smallmouth Alliance, Bicycle Shop, Kayaks, and we'll have several speakers there talking about temperate bass, muskie, redfish. We've got a young gentleman from the U.S. Junior Fly Fishing Team that's going to do a little talk on check nymphing and what the U.S. Fly Fishing Team's all about. And then Saturday night, we'll do the fly fishing film tour right on the gravel bar out on the water. And so we're hoping for good weather, but it's an entirely free event and fun for everybody.
You know, last year, of course, I was there, and that fly fishing film tour, that's an absolutely awesome production there.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's for those who haven't seen it, it's anywhere usually between about 7 minutes and 12 minutes trailers of usually about between eight and 12 different films from, boy, everything from tarpon fishing to fishing in Russia. It really spans the globe, but really good production, really, really neat deal to see.
Yeah, it's very well put together and produced. And I know one of the guides from the Yucatan, I'm sure you probably know of Tom Shipley from Rolla here. He has fished, and I forgot the name of the guide now, but one of the guides from the Yucatan is a guy that he has fished with down there, and Tom was telling me he really enjoyed fishing with that guy.
It was probably, goes by the nickname of Flea, I imagine.
I believe you're correct on that.
Yeah, he is. I've met him. He's a great guy, just a lot of fun to be around.
Yeah, I know Tom Shipley really spoke highly of him, and yeah, I always enjoy listening to Tom's tales, too.
Well, I can't imagine Tom Shipley catching tarpon, though. he promoted fishing all over the Ozarks. Didn't Tom Shipley do a radio show here in Rolla decades ago? I think he did. And he worked, didn't he work over at the university?
He worked at the university, right. And he was part of Brewer and Shipley, though.
Yeah, yeah. And they're still going.
Still performing, yeah.
They are, after 50 years.
Right.
I run into Tom down on Current River last year, I guess. I actually filmed him fishing a little bit and just kind of gigging him, you know. I said, I guess you're still playing music. Absolutely. We got a big gig in St. Louis this weekend. You know?
Yeah.
Incredible guy.
Yeah.
Incredible resource.
And a heck of a fly fisherman.
As good as they come.
Yeah, I think he's a regular down on the Current River, from what I understand.
You're absolutely right, Jeff, and I've run into him several times down there, and just a hoot to be around.
Oh, he was stumbling around there, and he had his foot up under a root wad there. I said, is that tree grown around your foot or what? Great guy.
But anyway, Jeff, this will be the third year for that show, I believe. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, it is the third year, and you know, we learn a little bit every year, and trying to make it bigger and more fun, and have more things going on. And you know, our big thing behind this was, you know, a lot of the old traditional fly fishing shows. You know, you pay $20 to get in the door, you walk around the venue, look at some booths, and that's all there really is. And I know my wife would hate it, and you know, my kids would be bored, and you know, but this thing, we're right on the river. You know, you want to try a fly rod out, you can, I don't know, walk, what is it, 10 yards maybe, and be in the water. and try it out, and there's plenty of stuff to do. So, yeah, it's just a fun event. We just kind of want to, you know, we're all trying to help promote the sport and grow the sport, and, you know, I think events like this is key.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and you're right. It's an extremely short distance down to the river, and I know last year Darren kept trying to get me to try out the Reddington Predator rod, and finally put one in my hand, and I walked down there, and next thing I knew, Charlie was there beside me, and we were critiquing that rod, and it was a lot of fun just to be able to step down there and try out that rod.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, long casting them or casting in the parking lot's one thing, but you know, getting out on the water and really see how it acts in a fishing situation is huge when you're looking at maybe, you know, whether it's a line or a new rod or a kayak or whatever, you know, all that will be available, and it's, you know, like I said, we're right on the water.
Yeah, and you know, you call that one right, casting on a parking lot or casting on the lawn. It's just not the same as casting in the water, because you don't have that drag on the line. You just don't get the same action out of it.
No, not at all. And I love to, you know, get out and fish stuff, and to really, before I'll really tell you, you know, I can say, hey, this rod is a great rod casting in the grass out here, but I won't give it a full critique till I get it out on the water and try it and see how it fits.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. And this show at Hidden Valley is a perfect place to try a rod like that. And, of course, you and Darren, anything you guys put your hands on is first class. And I think you guys have done a great job in bringing this show to where it is in such a short period of time.
Yeah, we're trying. I know, you know, the Southern Council has their fly fishing fair going on, and you know, the intent was never to compete, but Reddington picked the days, and we just had to go and run with it. So we figured, well, let's make it as good as we can. And you know, if people want to go to the Mountain Home to the fly fishing fair, they can do that on Friday and come see us on Saturday. So I think it works out both ways.
And, you know, I've known some people who have done that. Last year I talked to several people who did exactly that. And I just can't say enough about what a great job you and Darren have done in bringing this show as far as you have in such a short period of time.
Well, I think it's kind of like herding cats or something.
It's always a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's you know, a lot of work goes into it, but you know, the fun is showing up and seeing everybody having a good time. And you know, I know during the film tour last year, you know, I was sitting on the gravel bar just kind of looking around, and you know, I think we had, I don't know what it was, 125 or 130 people there at the films, and it was just neat to see people having a good time and everybody getting pumped up after they see those films to go fishing, and, you know, that's the reward of it.
Oh, absolutely, and I tell you what, my buddy that helps me out at these shows, Mike Dixon, he and I sat back in our lawn chairs and smoked a good cigar and just enjoyed the film, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think this year we're going to add a few more fire pits. It got a little chilly last year, but I think we're going to triple the number of fire pits out there in the crowd, and so nobody gets cold. But it should be, you know, weather depending. Hopefully we'll get good weather, and it should be a really good time.
Yeah, it did get a little chilly last year, but, you know, hey, buck up and enjoy the film.
That's right. Add a layer, that's all.
You know, the price is right. What can you say?
That's right. Yeah, you can't complain. It's free.
So, anyway, Jeff, we're going to have to take off here for a minute and pay some bills, but we'll be right back with you in just a few minutes. When we come back, there will be more with Jeff Trigg.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to Wild at Heart on ESPN 107.3 FM.
I'm Jerry Cook, and this segment of our show is brought to you by Colton Steakhouse and Grill in Rolla, where we know what's at stake. Also by Trout & Sons, serving you with boats, motors, trailers, and accessories since 1972. Located on County Road 1000 in St. James. It's always fun at Trout & Sons. Welcome back, Jeff Trigg.
All right, thank you.
We were talking about the White River earlier. What do you think this fall is looking like down there? I know it's dependent a lot on water and rainfall, but what's your opinion on this?
Yeah, right now the hopper bite is pretty good if you catch the right flow, or even, you know, typically you want one or two units of water running to get it bank to bank. But you know, I was on had some guys for 3 days last week and weekend, and we had minimum flow, and I think it was last Thursday we had 20 or 25 hopper eats, which is really good on minimum flow, and landed a 22-inch brown for a first-time guy. So yeah, you know, right now the hopper bite's really good. When they do run some water, the streamer bite's been pretty good. So I think, look, you know, we're close to pool. We'll just have to see what all this rain does. But you know, we started to see a little bit of sign of some of the brown trout potting up, getting ready to move upstream. But no, I think the fall should be pretty good this year.
Yeah, and you know, if you had a first timer out that caught a 22-inch brown, I'm sure he was quite happy about that.
You know, the funny thing about that, I was ecstatic, but he enjoyed catching the 3 or 4 8 or 10-inch brook trout that we caught about 10 minutes later. So, he was happy, but the brook trout, for some reason, he thought those were way cool.
Really, you would think anybody would be happy to catch a 22-inch brown.
Well, he was happy, but he was a little bit more excited about those brook trout for whatever reason.
I can't imagine why. Truthfully, I'm sorry. I would be absolutely ecstatic about that 22-inch brown, the brook trout. Oh well.
Are we talking?
Yeah, you know, I've had some guys here lately that had the same. You know, we caught a couple weeks ago. Caught some really nice, solid, you know, 18, 19-inch rainbows up below the dam, and same thing. We got into a spot a little lower and caught a bunch of brook trout, and they were super excited about those because they'd never seen them and never caught them in the White River system. So you just never know. But as long as they're happy, I'm happy. So,
how about cutthroat? You're running into many cutthroat down there.
Yeah, the Bonnevilles. You know, I guess it's been almost 2 years ago when they planted the Viber boxes with the Bonneville cuts, because previous we had the Snake River cutthroat, which are still there, but they planted some Viber boxes with eggs from Bonneville cuts, and boy, they're looking really healthy and starting to catch some really nice fish out of that planting. So yeah, we're catching a little bit of everything.
Well, you just educated me, because I had no idea there were brook trout on the White River system.
Yeah, they don't do a whole lot. They don't stock a whole lot of them, but they do. Used to be more on the North Fork than the White, but this year I didn't hear a number on it, but they did throw some brook trout in the White this year.
Well, that really adds an interesting twist on that river, because it's been known for rainbows and browns for some time, as well as smallmouth, and now you can go down and look for brook trout or cutthroats, either one.
Right, and two strains of cutthroats, that. So
yeah,
you get a pretty neat deal. You get a grand slam in one river. So
yeah, it's pretty unique.
It's fun.
Yeah, that's really a unique situation, I think, for this part of the country.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And the cutthroats are just, the Bonnevilles especially, are just beautiful fish. So I know guys, when they catch one, get a big kick out of them. And cutthroats notoriously are a little bit more willing to eat a fly than a brown. So I hate to call them dumb fish, but they seem to sometimes jump on things that other ones won't. So
Yeah, browns can be a little particular sometimes, and I prefer to go after those on an overcast day.
They're typically, in my opinion, a low pressure system fish. If it's a high pressure system, not saying you won't catch browns, but typically it'll be a lot less.
Yeah, and I have found that on bright sunny days they tend to be a little shy.
Oh yeah, they don't like the sunlight. The nastier the day, the better for browns, for sure.
That's always been my experience with the browns. They make the, in my humble opinion, for whatever that's worth, they make the rainbows look a little dumb sometimes.
Yeah, and cutthroats even more so.
Well, that's telling me I need to go after some cutthroats sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah. They're a little more, let's just say that, yeah, they're a little more aggressive. They'll tend to eat a little bit more readily than others.
Well, I have sitting next to me here Tommy Bench, who is going to be taking over as the show host as Bill Cooper is moving on to other venues, and he's a big smallmouth fisherman himself.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I was just curious on every time you guys mentioned smallmouth, I was starting to get in, but you guys were going at them cutthroats and rainbows and browns so much, I just wanted to listen, but I was pretty curious about them smallmouth.
Yeah, well, I know Mr. Cooper there has seen it, but Nathaniel Maddox, who's a producer for Slate and Glass Productions, we filmed a smallmouth video last year, and Sage just released it. It's actually on the Sage blog, if you go to Sage Fly Fishing website.
Right.
That's all smallmouth, and it turned out really good. I know, like I said, Mr. Cooper saw it at our dealer show this year. I kind of gave him a sneak peek, and
that was a beautiful piece. And the part of that was on the Niangua, if I remember.
Yes, sir, it was. Yeah, in fact, all of it was.
All of it was. What part of the Niangua was that on?
Really low.
Really low.
I saw that film, and it was very well done.
Incredible. I told Jerry, I said, now, Jerry, can you tell a difference in their film and my film? I'm using a $3,000 camera, and they're probably using a $70,000 camera.
Yeah, big difference, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah,
superb quality.
I think I told you when I knew conditions were going to be tough that day, and I told Nathaniel, I said, anytime you put a film camera in the boat, the video camera in the boat, fishing gets tough.
And it never fails.
I turned around, and sure enough, here's a $60,000, $70,000 red studio camera in the back of the boat, and I thought, oh, no. Now we're really in trouble. Wow.
So let me ask you a question. I got a question for you, because this is strictly all fly fishing, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, so how would you target? Because I can tell you, spinning or casting gear, I can tell you how I would target bigger smallmouth. So how would you target a bigger smallmouth, just for our audience, for example? How would you target a big smallmouth fly fishing?
Bigger fly.
Bigger fly. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. So you use the same things you typically would. You just upgrade, you basically just upgrade the size.
Are we talking articulated streamers now, Jeff?
Here we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Double deceivers. Honestly, you coming from the spin and casting side of things, and I think I've told Jerry this before, is I pay real close attention to what the smallmouth gear fishermen are using and mimic it with a fly.
Yeah.
If I see a shad wrap or anything like that and look at it and go, okay, well, we'll do this with feathers. And, a lot of times if I'm targeting big fish, I will – there's certain areas that hold the big fish, but
absolutely.
But typically with flies, I just go bigger. I go to a 6-inch fly, I'm going to eliminate a lot of those 12-inch fish.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly what I do with my casting stuff. I was curious because I do take fly fishermen from time to time, and that's the only aspect I know is to go bigger. Bigger's better if you want big fish, because that's generally what I ask my clients is, what do they want? Are you after numbers, or are you after just quality? Quantity or quality, what do you want? And a lot of times they just – I've caught smallmouth before. I want to catch a big one. So that's what we're after.
Well, that's
a six-inch fly is a big thing to eat on a fly rod, though.
That's a big one.
Well, I've already told him, Jeff, that we're going to have to convert him to a fly fisherman, you know.
Jerry's working on him. Yeah, yeah.
Bring him over to the
dark
side.
Something else these boys need to learn. They're rough on their cameramen, you know. I follow them along in my kayak and film them, where is Jerry fly fishing out of a rubber raft drip boat, or Tommy here out of a 16-foot John boat. And of course, Tommy, he's really rough on me. I float along with them, you know, and I try to sneak in a little fish, and then they just ate me up here a while back because I caught the biggest smallmouth of the trip.
He hooked the biggest smallmouth of the trip.
Well, see, I was trying to be nice, pass the rod off them. I'm going to film it, and it got off.
Well, yeah. we're getting into that article on the Sage blog and where the video's at. I call this, we're getting into what I call the second season of smallmouth. You know, everybody looks for that pre-spawn, you know, early spring, and then, you know, the popper game in the heat of the summer. And, you know, this coming up right any time now is really my favorite time. It's where I catch the biggest fish. They're the time of year I catch the biggest smallmouth. And
I agree.
You know, I kind of wrote an article on it, you know, because a lot of people kind of ignore it, and it's not a huge window, but the window that this early fall before it really, you know, those fish move to wintering holes, my numbers of fish will drop, but the quality of fish get way better.
Well, guys, hey, I hate to interrupt this great conversation. You know, it's always fun to talk smallmouth fishing. I don't care if you're spin casting, bait casting, or using a fabulous fly rod from Jerry Cook Place. But, hey, coming up in segment 7, Doug Davis of Cowtown USA will be in the studio. And Doug's always got fantastic things to talk about, and he's got some great news coming up. These guys are going to do a huge ride. They've had over 8,000 responses to publicity they've put out already. It could be down in Denton County, but I don't want to steal his thunder. But stay tuned. This is Wild at Heart, and I'm Bill Cooper. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to Wild at Heart, your source of information for the Ozarks and a few points beyond. This segment is brought to you by Guard Truck and Equipment and the Outdoor Superstore, your Husqvarna dealer located on the North Outer Road in St. James, and the Missouri Trappers Association, dedicated to preserving the heritage and skills of trapping. Well, we had some interesting subjects on the show today, but now we're going to get a little bit more interesting. We've got Doug Davis from Cowtown USA. Welcome, Doug.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Hey, it's been a while since you've been on the show.
It has been a while.
It's always fun to have you on. Doug is a fixture at Cowtown USA. Been there for how many years, Doug?
I think 15 years.
15 years, man. Yeah. I tell you what, you've seen a lot of ATVs, UTVs, boats, horse trailers, and spiders.
That's exactly right. And then some.
Yeah, yeah.
Thousands of them.
Thousands of them. That's exactly right. Boy, you guys make a big showing there just off the interstate between St. James and Cuba. Can't miss a place anymore because of the huge sign you have there.
Yeah, you can't miss that big LED sign.
Oh, that's an incredible piece of advertising.
It is.
Everybody in 10 counties around wants to get on that thing.
Yeah, and they pretty much are.
I thought maybe you might have trouble with the neighbors. You know, sometimes those things are so bright. I know the hospital had to turn theirs down because they are a bright.
Yeah, well, there's different laws on that. When you're in the city, you can run the signs brighter. When you're out in the country,
really?
They have a law that you can only be however they judge brightness. But you're right, the one at the hospital was, man, it must have been cranked up hard because it was bright.
Yeah, it was. I think
you couldn't miss it. So
no, that's right. You know. I think people across the highway complained, but I think that's all panned out. But, boy, what a great way to advertise. And hey, if you haven't seen it, you haven't been up and down 44.
No, you have not. You can't miss it.
But it is a great way to advertise, and you can get a hold of Doug or some of them over there at Cowtown USA. That's
885-6300.
I knew that. I just want to see if you
I remembered. I wrote it on my hand before I come in. So,
oh, you probably dream about those.
Yeah.
But you guys are great for events. You've had some fabulous events over the years. I've worked with you guys the last 3 or 4 years, and, boy, just been some incredible events where you pack the people in, but you may be looking at the granddaddy of all events coming up.
Yeah, I think we may well have it here. We are putting on a UTV ride out of the Commons there at Salem. That's the fairgrounds there off 72 on October 20th. It should be a real good time. We're going to do a county road ride. It'll consist right at 76 to 80 mile ride.
That's a long ride.
That's a lot of riding. It's a great way to see Dent County. We rode it on Monday and with one of the sheriff deputies and some of the volunteers for the American Volunteers is the charity that we're doing this for.
And that's an interesting organization. We were talking about it a little bit about it out in the lobby, and I've never heard of an organization quite like this. Can you explain a little bit to our listeners?
Yeah, I'll give it my best. I'm sure I'll miss some of it, but everybody's heard of the VFW, for example, or the American Legion, and they are organizations for veterans, and you have to be a veteran to join. So a lot of events that they do is only for veterans. The American Volunteers, they raise money in Dent County for Dent County vets, so they keep it pretty local. But the real difference there is that they do have members from the VFW, members from the, I almost said Knights of Columbus, but the American Legion. Yeah. But what really makes them different, you don't have to be former military to be in the volunteers. So, anybody could be a volunteer if you want to support the vets. You don't just have to be a vet now to do these events.
I'd say that's a good organization because it gives a lot of people who are not veterans the opportunity to serve.
That's exactly right. Richard LaBrash runs the American Volunteers, and he gave me an example. And I can't remember all the specifics. I'll probably tell it wrong. But he said at one year that the VFW had went out to decorate a cemetery for Memorial Day or Veterans Day maybe. And he said it took them 3 or 4 hours to put all the flags up in this.
That's always a grand thing to see, though.
Yeah, it is. But Richard said the volunteer group actually took a group of kids out there. And he said they showed the kids, this is a veteran's tombstone, how to tell who's a veteran and how to set the flags up. He said they did it in like a half hour, 45 minutes. They had so much more energy than the vets. So at that point, I got it. I'm like, okay,
good education.
It's any age.
Too.
I mean, I don't think there's an age limit there.
Yeah, but what an education for the kids.
Exactly. Exactly right. So that is who we're putting this ride on for. It will be to raise money for the veterans. I mean, all the food benefits, part of the gate will go straight to the American Volunteers. It looks like it's going to be a big deal. It's the first time we've ever done it. It's impossible to tell how many people you'll have, but the looks we've had on Facebook at this event in the comments we've had is almost staggering numbers. I hesitate to say how many people are looking
all
at this.
All we want to hear.
Well, right now we're like at 8,700 people have looked at it, and it's been shared several hundred times. What really made this possible, to be honest with you, when we started talking about doing this event, we went to the sheriff's. I started at the sheriff's department and told them we would like to do an event like this. Because you do have to have a permit to ride on the county roads in Dent County. And they got together with the commissioners. The sheriff worked really hard. Major Pabot over there worked hard. We've had a sergeant heading this deal up, has done an excellent job. And we're to the point now, the way it is in Dent County now, even if somebody wanted to hold an event, you would have to go to the courthouse to get a permit to put on your UTV. And that really slows things down, especially when you start talking hundreds and hundreds of people. So at this point, what they've agreed to do is we're going to actually be selling the permits with the registration. So the Dent County people, they are great at working red tape. I mean, is what we want to do. This is how we need to do it. Go. My hat is totally off to these people. They've made it
well, I guess so.
Very
I guess
easy.
I've known you for a long time and watched you. You're a great organizer, but this looks like this might be one of the easiest events for you to put on. You've got a labor force out there working for
you.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. And, the sheriff's department told me, they said the best volunteers you can get for any event are the veterans. And they're really bringing it to it. I'm going to be really excited to see how this turns out. But there again, my hat is off to the sheriff's department over there and the county commissioners and the clerk. I mean, Getting in there and getting this done in a short period of time was just, I couldn't believe it. It was amazing.
Well, it truly is a good thing when you see people cooperate to this extent and get excited about it. It pumps everybody up. But I want to back up a little bit. I got to ask you, how long is it going to take to ride 60 or 80 miles?
Well, I'll tell you what. We rode it the other day, like I said, Monday, and we stopped.
Yeah, but you drive fast.
I actually did pretty slow. I had a deputy with me. So.
He should have been with us when I rode with you a few times. You'd have got a ticket.
Yeah, probably. But it took us 5 hours, but we did stop at every junction. We were counting for how many signs we need for turn left here, turn right there, stuff like that. But we did it in 5 hours what we did. And that was kind of taking our time.
Right. So how long do you think it'll take your riders? Now, you got hundreds of them out there. At the same time, do they all take off at the same time?
No, I don't think so. I think as you come in, you can leave in a group or you can leave by yourself. So when you sign up, get your permits put on and everything, you should be able to take off at your leisure. Some things are still up in the air. You know, we think we're going to start trying to sign people up on Friday so we don't get too big a crowd
on
Saturday.
The 19th. Yeah,
and then we are going to probably start signing people up 6 a.m. Saturday morning.
Wow. That's at the Commons.
That's at the Commons. There will be breakfast served, from what I hear, a very good breakfast. Of course, there'll be lunch and dinner there. But along the trail, somewhere along the halfway point, there will be another food stop somewhere down there. We're still
like
kind of working out
deal.
Some details.
Anytime there's food involved out in the woods.
Yeah. I know all about that. You cook for me on a tailgate more than once.
Yeah, and you're still alive.
I am still alive. It was actually pretty good pheasant stew is what it was.
Oh, I remember.
You remember that? I think
we were
quail hunting off Woods and Caves.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Well, man, it sounds like just a tremendous event and getting so many people involved, man.
Yeah.
At all levels.
Yeah. And you can't beat the veterans. I mean, they need our support more than ever now. You know, the country's a little divided here and there, and you know we're going to show them who we are. I mean, we're calling this event Ride for America. Well, and that is what
great,
it is.
Great name, great idea. And I hate to ask who came up with this idea.
Actually, the ride was my idea, but the naming the event was done by Richard LaBrash.
Richard LaBrash. Mm-hmm. Well,
Richard LaBrash named the event and done an unbelievable amount of work on this as well. Richard's really worked his tail off.
Richard's a heck of an organizer.
You know Richard. Yep. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. He just needs one more thing to do, you know?
He does. He does, yeah.
Well, they say if you want to get something done, you know, and done right, done quickly, go to the busiest person you know. So that might be that case. Jerry's a veteran, too. Jerry, I hope you can take some of this in.
Yeah, I tell you what, I think it's a good idea. And, but, you know, you touched on something there, how veterans are good organizers and good workers. They're used to doing that, you know.
You bet.
They were trained to make decisions quickly and to organize well in the military.
Exactly. Little carryover into civilian life. That's why veterans do so well in civilian life,
yeah,
for the most part.
You can't help but let some of that carry over.
No, it's a drive. They put a drive in you, and it's you know, a lot of people like that are very successful.
They really are. But
sitting between two of you right now.
Well, it's the pride element that I think is so important, that they are proud that they're vets, and they should be, and our country should be proud of them. And this is a great way to show it.
I think so.
So happy you guys are doing it. I can't think of anybody better than Cowtown USA.
I appreciate that.
They're going to have some awesome machines out there. Guys, this segment is gone already.
Wow, that was quick.
It is quick when you're having fun talking about important things. It's just good for society altogether. But we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back with Doug Davis. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, but we want to talk a little fly fishing, too. This is Wild at Heart, and I'm Bill Cooper.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back. I'm Bill Cooper, and you're listening to Wild at Heart. This segment of our show is brought to you by Salty Jack's Bar and Grill in Eminence and by State Farm Insurance Agent Michelle Beckett in Sullivan, helping life go right. We all love it when life goes right.
Well, that's a fact.
Well, sounds to me like you got some things going right, Douglas, with this grand event Riding for America, put on by the American Volunteers.
Yes, sir.
Up. And give us the dates on that again.
October 20th is the ride date. Yes, sir.
Yep. And that's going to start out at the Commons area there at Salem?
In the Commons in Salem.
And you can start registering, you said maybe on Friday?
Yeah, maybe on Friday. So we're hoping to get it open for registered on Friday. Now, all that is up in the air right now, folks. This is happening real time, so keep an eye on our Facebook if you're interested. But I can't say enough about the ride. I mean, they've got more county roads down there than you can shake a stick
at.
Oh,
I know all about that. I used to deliver UPS down there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Wow. You can get lost back in there.
You sure can. I sure was.
I did for real. Yeah. That's why your packages were late.
Yeah.
Trying to find my way out of the woods, you know. But, boy, what a grand event, and I hope to make it down there as well. Don't know that I'll get the ride, but I sure like to get some of this on film.
Oh, yeah, we're counting on it.
Hey, boy.
We need Bill Cooper.
Hey, it's always fun. Everything I do with you guys is fun, you know. It was a little bit of a drag having to work with Rick and the stock trailers, the horse trailers, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, a little pewy in a lot of them used ones, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I just got a bad feeling when he came out there with a shovel, you know, and I was packing a camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we always have great fun over Cowtown USA. And one of the grand things, you guys are so flexible and so good to work with. And, you know, I hooked you up recently with the CNR Outfitters.
Yeah, yeah.
They're almost your neighbors, you know.
They are.
Shantz's live up the rural route of Owensville, and they've got this big deer lease over close to Kansas.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Got you guys doing some cross-advertising.
They do, and they've
well.
Got them. They've got them a brand new Can-Am Defender.
I know. I got to ride in it last weekend, and boy, did they ever get it muddy.
Yeah, they did. That's good. Finally got some mud, I guess.
Yeah, it covered up all that beautiful mossy oak camo.
Yeah. Yeah, good bunch of guys. Have really enjoyed dealing with them. I think they're going to be a over-the-top success down there. It's appears to be a fantastic place. I mean,
well, when you're talking about
I'm blown away.
8,000 acres that haven't been hunted in 5 years,
yeah.
Tommy. It kind of makes you drool. And you ought to see the trail cam photos, man. Some whopping big bucks.
I've seen some of them. It's not quite gone all public, but I have seen some of them.
Yeah.
It's good stuff down there, guys.
I'm
if
not,
you're looking for a lease.
Hey, I'm not.
You know,
I'm not showing the best ones, you know. They're going to be disappointed if somebody doesn't kill a 200-inch buck down there this year.
That'd That's
be
incredible,
impressive.
Isn't it?
It's
200-inch
huge. And the sweet thing is they haven't even seen half of these farms yet. They're scattered over like 10 miles.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine what 8,000 acres look like.
Me either.
I really
can't. But they will hunt half of it this year and then rotate probably hunt the other half next year. But, Douglas, man, you got all kinds of exciting things going on in your life. You're getting ready to head where, to South Dakota?
Yeah, I'm going to do a fly fishing trip to South Dakota
a couple
of weeks.
I guess my invite hasn't shown up in the mail yet. I know you. You like to get off by yourself.
I do.
You're going
all
by yourself?
All by myself.
You dog you.
Hooking my camper and going.
What?
So I'm not even going to take my dog with me.
Really?
No.
Who's going to take care of the dog?
I'll leave him with my dad.
Oh.
Yeah,
have you told him yet?
Yeah, the dog or my dad?
Is it a bad deal for both of them?
No, dad don't mind, but the dog, he don't like it when I leave too much. But it takes him a little bit of time there.
I would just imagine, but I heard you and Jerry talking about this fly fishing trip, and you better make a stop down at Jerry's store. You know, he's
absolutely.
Got almost 1,000 different types of fly patterns.
Absolutely. You know, before I went to New Mexico last year, I made a stop at Jerry's, and I bought a new vest and a lot of tippet, and right now I'm needing hooks. We were just talking about I need a bunch of hooks.
Jerry thinks you need 899 types of flies, too.
Well.
That would be a little over the top, I think.
I might zoom in on about 8 or 10 and just work from there.
What
you
kind
know?
Of streamer was that we were talking about earlier?
Articulated streamers?
There you go. Articulated streamer.
I don't think they'd allow those in South Dakota. But anyway, tell us about the region you're going to.
Well, a lot of people have been to where I'm going. It's right around Mount Rushmore. It's called Rapid City. Then just up the road, just, I don't know, less than an hour away is Deadwood. Everybody's heard of Deadwood. And then just, you know, a little bit farther than that
There's
is a place called
There's a movie series
Steerford.
Going on right now.
Deadwood?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's where Wild Bill got Aces and Eights. That's where he got,
exactly
got killed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Diane won't miss one of those. She makes me watch them.
Yeah, I haven't watched one yet.
Oh, really? They're pretty great.
Are they?
Yeah, you didn't watch them before you go. You might get in a gunfight out there.
Yeah, never can tell. I'll be ready.
Fastest fly rod in the West.
Exactly.
Well, tell us more about Deadwood and the fishing.
Well, what started it for me, you know, this is my third consecutive fly fishing vacation, but there was an article in a 2015 Field and Stream that called that part of South Dakota the best-kept secret in fly fishing. So, you know, started doing some research, making some phone calls, watching some YouTube videos, and decided I would get up there before every fly fisherman in the country managed to find it.
Now, when does the article come out?
It came out in 2015, so it's been out a while.
Oh.
I just found it on the internet.
The fish may all be gone, Douglas.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. I hope they're not.
And what kind of fish you going to catch out there?
You know, they've got rainbows, browns, cutthroat, brookies, just almost everything you can get.
Smallmouth?
Smallmouth. Yeah, they do have a great smallmouth population. Most of these creeks up there, from what I'm seeing, are running out of the bottom of lakes. So they'll have a lake, a creek, going into another lake. And the lakes have everything. They're musky, walleye, smallmouth. I mean, they're loaded. So it sounds like a fisherman's paradise.
It really does. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you didn't invite me. But
yeah. Oh, you're invited.
Yeah.
Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Yeah. Gee, thanks.
Bring your camera.
Bring your camera. Yeah. Poor Bill. He never gets to fish or hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. Tommy gives me so much grief. I let a fish get away. If nobody knows that.
Yeah. Yeah. I told him to get in the boat.
Yeah, he's making up T-shirts now. It was such a bad deal. He's making up T-shirts.
Yeah, don't steal my idea either.
Get it in the boat. Yeah, yeah. But it sounds like a fabulous trip. And are you targeting any specific species when you go?
Yes and no. I mean, I've not caught a lot of brook trout in my life. I'll spend a little time trying to get that zeroed in, where they are, what I need to be fishing with. Always welcome browns. You know, that's always very exciting.
Did you say brook trout?
Brook trout.
Did you see the photo I had on social media this week? It was a photograph I'd taken out scenic rivers taxidermy of a huge brook trout. I didn't know they got that
big. I did see that, and I didn't know they got that big either. I was really twisting my head looking at that, like, is that really a brook trout?
Probably came from Canada. I used to read in Outdoor Life decades ago, you know, about huge brook trout. 4 or 5 pounds that came from way up in Canada. Still on my, what do you call that list?
Bucket.
Bucket list.
Bucket list.
That's a big brook trout.
That's a huge brook trout. Yeah, I had no
but
idea.
But this one was probably, I want to say, 3 and 3.5 pounds maybe, mm-hmm. but beautifully colored.
Oh, yeah,
fish.
Its belly was just glowing, you know. It was quite a picture.
Yeah, well, I'm quite envious. But I know you, Douglas, you're a researcher. You probably got it all figured out, what flies and everything you're going
to
use.
I got it all figured out until I get in the water, when you start from zero, you know.
Yeah, everything changes once you step in the water, doesn't
it? I'll tell you what I found, and I've done a lot of fishing trips, and it generally takes 3 days. I mean, you'll catch a few them first couple of days, but that third day on, usually
you're
got a pattern. Yeah. Yeah, I hope it remains that way. But it usually takes me the third day before I'm really clicking.
Yeah.
You know, I know where I'm going to walk to, or, you know, I've seen a fish here or there, whatever I'm looking for.
Well, do you, when you go on trips like that, I know you've been to New Mexico, the San Juan, you've traveled around quite a bit fly fishing.
Yep,
and you're a fairly new fly fisherman, what?
Yeah.
5 or 6 years?
Yeah.
Or so?
Yeah, 5 or 6 years.
So you're quite the adventurous sort of guy. When you go to a new place like that, do you head to the local fly shops or anything to try to garner information?
You know, I did when I was in Tennessee. It's the only time I've done that. And there was an ORF shop in Townsend, Tennessee. And those guys were fantastic. I mean, they told me where to go to find the fish. And that was tough up there because you hike up in the mountains. But they told me where to go to find the fish and then showed me what they were biting on, and they wasn't lying.
It worked.
I mean,
man.
They put me on them. Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. I hope you have that same luck
in
South Dakota. Be sure and work that social media so we can see what's going
I'll
on.
I'll do my best.
All right. Well, guys, we're going to start winding it up here. This is my last show of Wild and Heart. And, boy, it's kind of an emotional sort of thing, you know. I've worked with all these guys. Jerry Cook is, boy, just been a trooper. John is just incredible. Yeah. If you ever want to do a radio show, make sure John Francis is your sound
man. Oh, that's
a
fact. I got his card in my pocket. So. I know Bill's leaving, so I mean, yeah.
Well, he's not only great at this sort of stuff. We get in a bind once in a while, and we start asking John questions, you know, or he passes us notes. You need to ask this question, make sure that people are understanding what we talk about. He has been absolutely fabulous. Everybody at ESPN 107.3 have been great folks. Tommy Bench, next week, going to be in a hot seat, man.
I'll be here.
Hey, I ask everybody to listen in to Tommy Bench, great outdoorsman. Hope Countdown, all the other advertisers will keep supporting him.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure he's going to grow this show and take it to new heights because he – man, he's got it in the head. Old Arkin boy. Been
he's
out there
young.
All his life.
But well, Bill, from all of us here at ESPN, Bill, thank you for all your hard work. This has been great.
Oh, it's been so much fun, and it is hard to leave, but there's great things waiting on me out there, man.
Working. I can tell you right now, you're going to be missed.
Well, I'll be back from time to time, but Tommy won't rag me anymore about putting them in the boat.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
We're still going to be going fishing, though.
Absolutely. You can count on it. But Wild at Heart, Bill Cooper for the last time.
Wild at Heart on ESPN 107.3. Powered by Cowtown USA, Colden Steakhouse and Grill, J. Cook Fly Rods, The Outdoor Superstore, Shady Lanes Cabins and Motel, Advanced Performance Shooting, Missouri Trappers Association, Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, and State Farm Agent Michelle Beckett. The latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond. Wild at Heart, 4 p.m. Wednesdays and 8 a.m. on Sundays on ESPN 107.3.